crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue.
In the year 2000, NPR's Linda Wertheimer prepared a feature for All Things Considered titled Patsy Cline's Crazy Changed the Sound of Country Music. The feature began. Patsy Cline's husband, Charlie Dick, helped to find Crazy for his wife. He says he was waiting for Patsy in a bar, and he found a record on the jukebox he wanted her to hear. It was by Paul Buskirk and His Little Men, featuring Hugh Nelson. He then met Hugh Nelson, now known as Willie Nelson. Later that week on Saturday night, I was at the Opry, and I tried to buy that record someplace, and they didn't have it because it was on a small label, Dick says, so he gave me one, and I took it home and listened to it about half the night and kept Patsy up half the night, and she didn't think too much of that, and that's when we finally got the demo on Crazy. She didn't think too much of the song. She just didn't even want to hear Willie Nelson's name mentioned. And then Hank Cochran, who was a song plugger for the publishing company Willie was writing for, when he came over to bring the tape of Crazy that he thought was so good, Willie actually sat in the car. He didn't come in the house because I told him what Patsy said about me keeping her up all night, so he waited outside. He didn't want to lose a sale. By all accounts, it was not an easy sale. In 1960, when she was 28, Patsy Cline got the job she'd wanted all her life. She was part of the cast of the Grand Old Opry. She saw herself as a country singer. She didn't particularly like the vulnerable, heartbroken sound of songs like Crazy, but a record producer, Owen Bradley, felt those songs were exactly right for Patsy Cline. Patsy had an incredible vocal technique, said Paul Kingsbury, a music historian at the Country Music Hall of Fame. She was a very powerful singer and very versatile, capable of growling or purring, vaulting octaves with ease. But beyond just the raw technique, Patsy was able to give you a window into her soul. You feel that you're hearing exactly how Patsy feels, almost as if she were a neighbor coming over for a cup of coffee and spilling her heart out to you. Owen Bradley had plans for Crazy. He wanted to produce a new form of country music. He had a number of innovations in mind. He wanted a background vocal to add richness and sophistication, so he brought in the Jordanaires, who also recorded with Elvis Presley. He hired a young piano player, Floyd Kramer, who provided what the other musicians referred to as tinkling. He had a bass guitar, which added a kind of jazzy percussion to the mix, and he set aside a whole recording session just to work out the background sound without Patsy's vocal. That was added a week later. That doesn't sound complex by today's standards, but at the time when four songs were produced in an average afternoon session, it was incredible attention to detail. I remember when Patsy heard the demo, she said, "Look, Hoss, there ain't no way I could sing it like that guy's a-singing it." Gordon Stoker, a backup singer on the session, says, "I always got such a kick out of the way she talked. Phrasing, the phrasing of it. The way he cut his words off and choppy, she didn't want to do it like that. She wasn't going to do it that way." In the end, Patsy did record the track. And there is a music legend about Crazy that it was recorded in one take. That's true and not true. The studio musicians recorded their part after what they felt was a good amount of rehearsing and experimentation. But when Patsy Cline came in a week later to record the vocal of Crazy, she did sing it only once. That one version is magical, and it's still selling records. You. young singers are still measuring their own efforts against hers, country singer Kathy Mattea treasures the idea that a woman like Patsy Cline could walk into a studio and sing Crazy one time from the heart. One of the downsides of technology is that it has allowed us not to believe in magic anymore, says Kathy Mattea. And when music is at its best, it's like throwing up a butterfly net and catching a moment in time. And you know, when you work it too hard and make it too perfect, it's like you don't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes the flaws in something or the moments where it's not perfect are what make it special. Magic. That from an NPR feature aired on All Things Considered in the year 2000.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus.
Producer and director Jared Whitford of the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble knows that the production of A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline was magic. And he worked with Samantha Lee Mason at Millbrook Playhouse 2 years ago. The audiences were mesmerized. They were moved and enchanted. Jared and Samantha knew they wanted to bring Patsy to life again. And they are now together again at the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble this weekend with live musicians on stage. We had a chance to speak by phone with Jared Whitford. He was working with his students in Williamsport as they prepared the sets for an aptly named piece, High School Musical, and he trusted them completely as he sought out a quiet spot for our conversation. When you were the age of your students right now, painting sets for the High School Musical, what were you doing? Were you in musicals? Was music a part of your life?
I was. I started performing at the age of 10. And then I did some of my High School Musicals, but I was actively involved in the local theaters in Williamsport. Yeah. So when I was the age of my students, I was doing the same thing, painting sets, sewing costumes. I'm actually a costume designer as well as a director. So I was always sewing costumes, doing whatever I can in the world of theater.
Let me ask you, what music did you grow up with? Musical theater music, but anything else in the household? Country music?
Yes, country music. I mean, my mom's favorite artists were Barbra Streisand, Reba McEntire, and I would grow up in Shania Twain. So I definitely grew up with musical theater and country music, which I think ultimately prepared me, which I feel has been the gift that keeps on giving, A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline.
What we understand is that you have done this before with your Patsy Cline. Tell us about how that production came about and how you're doing it again.
Yeah, in 2023, I was hired at Millbrook Playhouse for my third summer, I think, with them, to direct A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline, which was the opener of their 60th season. So I was really honored to be asked to do that. And through that process, it was summer stock, so it was a quick 10 days. You know, it was very in and out quick. Magic was made. Instantly, day one in the rehearsal room, Samantha and I fell in love with each other. The team was so wonderful. It was truly magical. And there was some extra pressures with this show being in a state-approved production. You know, Patsy had to be approved. The production had to be vetted. All those things through Patsy Cline's estate, which is managed through a licensing company and her daughter, Julie. And we struck gold with this production. And ever since then, Samantha and I have been talking about if there ever were an opportunity to do it again, we wanted to do it. We wanted to do it. And John Whitespunner, our managing director, one of the first things when I started working at Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, one of the first things he said to me is, he's like, you have a Patsy Cline show? And I was like, yeah, kind of. And he really thought that the audiences that came to the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble would appreciate and enjoy Patsy Cline production. And when I told him how special this production, A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline, was, he was really intrigued, and that's kind of how it got to come to Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble.
Did Samantha know Patsy Cline at all before she assumed the role?
I think she definitely did her research. Samantha is, if I know anything about her, she was prepared for that audition. So she definitely knew some things before she got cast. But afterwards, boy, did she do her research. We were comparing notes first day of rehearsal at Millbrook and just comparing what we wanted to highlight of Patsy Cline and the things that were like, people know this already. We're not gonna harp on that.
Now, did Dean Regan create a biographical piece that zeroes in on a moment and then there are flashbacks or forward-looking things? How does the play unfold?
It is chronological in a way, chronological in an abstract way, but still chronological through Patsy Cline's life. Spoiler alert, Patsy Cline died young, very young. She died, I think she was 30 when she passed away. In a plane accident. So we get to see early Patsy Cline all the way through the end of her life. You know, in her final, the final moments of the show, we come to realize her fate and her relationship with faith, and it's her relationship with music. And Dean has created a really smart script. So we are learning the factoids of Patsy Cline through her lyrics. So if in her timeline she's going through a breakup, we're hearing a breakup song. When she's singing at the Grand Ole Opry, there are songs that are performance-based, and then there are songs that are like inner monologues, but they're all through Patsy Cline's music. So it's a really smart script in that way.
When we hear the Grand Ole Opry, I always connect it with, oh, opera. That's a funny wordplay. But is there something monumental about Patsy Cline? Is she kind of a tragic hero here?
I think so. Yeah, it's tragic. We lost her too soon. And her life had quite a few tragedies in it. You know, she had a pretty big accident right when she was getting started that disfigured her face a little bit. And that really changed how she presented herself and actually like the iconic glitz and glam of Patsy Cline that we see. And she died young, you know, she died and we do not have a full catalog of music for Patsy Cline that she's provided with so much music, the music that exists that she actually got to do. I can only imagine what she would have been able to do in that time period. The volume of music that we would have if she got to live longer than her 30 years.
Do we get a sense also that it was hard for women to make it in country music during her era?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, she's a trailblazer for that, for women. You know, we wouldn't have Reba, we wouldn't have Dolly Parton, we wouldn't have Loretta Lynn if we didn't have Patsy Cline. She walked so others could run. Yeah, such a hard thing. And also the role of a woman, right? She was married twice, I think was expected to be the dutiful wife in her first marriage, and that wasn't good enough for her. And she was performing at local bars and stuff, which led to her first divorce. But yeah, heck yeah. She got really lucky with her second husband that he was like, I'm going to be your manager. We're going to do this together. And really, he helped blossom her career.
And you mentioned faith. Why do you think Dean chose to title the piece A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline?
Yeah, so Patsy did some gospel, and the song A Closer Walk with Thee, which is a hymn, she covered it. And faith is really important, was really important to Patsy Cline, and I think it also parallels the story. We all know going into the beginning of this show that there's going to be a tragedy at some point, right? We know just by how the show is framework. So I think that parallel with the closer walk with Dee and the relationship that Patsy had with Faith is really important.
And we talked about your being a young high school student and sewing costumes. What about the costume changes in this show? Are there many?
Yeah, it's an hour and 20 minute show, which she's on stage for probably at least an hour and 10 of that. So her costume changes are quick, and she has three of them. She has three new-to-this-production costumes. So there's a lot of the elements of the Millbrook production, the staging, some of the auditory elements exist, but it's completely a new design for this new production of A Closer Walk. So new costumes, new wigs, new shoes, the whole gamut. There's some fun, iconic looks in this. You know, that iconic, her iconic red fringe dress. There's our version of that. And then the 50s and early 60s are just such a wonderful period, time period, visually with costumes and such, that we have so much that we're able to pull from, not just from Patsy Cline's own wardrobe that we've done research around, but just like what the popular things are of that period. And we really highlight some really cool looks in this production.
How does she do the aging part? She must be very adept and agile as an actor.
Yeah, Samantha is absolutely incredible. We became such close friends through this process, through the first process, and looking at the age, Patsy Cline only really gave us six years of music. So there's not a huge age gap through this production, but it's in the costuming. A lot of it is in the costuming and the music matures. There is a sense in the later part of the show, there is a sense of music that is much more of a sophisticated, mature sound than her early honky-tonk stuff that we get in Act One.
And you were so blown away by the original production. What did the audiences say? You could feel the energy in the audience. What made you know it was a big hit?
Well, I had the pleasure of bartending at Millbrook. Millbrook is an old-school summer stock where everyone kind of did everything. So I was the bartender, and people didn't know I was the director, and they were coming out at intermission, and they were like, what a voice. Wow. Wow, that was fun. I think people don't realize how they think it's country, but it's actually like country pop, like those old songs of the 50s that you grew up with. And so a lot of people really like that. I will say anecdotally, my grandparents have asked consistently when I am going to do this show again. I've done many shows between first Patsy Cline and this revival that they have asked consistently at holidays. When is she coming up to do it again? That was our favorite thing that we've seen you do. They love it. So I think, you know, between the pressure of my grandparents and the audiences, she's got a voice on her. And we took very special care. She's not impersonating Patsy Cline. This is not a Patsy Cline impersonation. We really approached this from the lens of this is a show. This is a book musical where we're going to attack Patsy Cline as a character. We did the backstory. We did the research. And it is her recreation of Patsy Cline. So I think that's what's kind of special about it.
She's singing. Is she accompanied by someone else?
Yeah, we have a live band on stage. We have a piano, drum, bass, and guitar combo on stage, live musicians. So I'm really, really excited to be working with these musicians to accompany her live every night. And they become characters in the show. She addresses the pit. She talks to them. They are characters in the show with her.
Did you go off later just on your own playlist that you're building for Spotify or however you listen to your music? Have you built in any Patsy Cline tunes?
Oh, my goodness. This is actually so funny you say this because Sam and I actually talk about this. Yeah, both of us were not Patsy Cline listeners before we did this production in 2023. Now it is our comfort. Her songs are on our comfort playlist. And we both talk about how doing the show changed. Like, if I'm having a bad day, I'm going to put on my Patsy Cline playlist and I'm going to sing along with her. Sometimes just for fun on my drive. I commute from Williamsport to Bloomsburg most days for work. So on my commute, sometimes I'll just plop in Patsy Cline and sing along. So yeah, it definitely has changed my music habits.
We always know someone like Patsy Cline has a distinctive voice. You may not know the song, but you know it's Patsy Cline. How do you describe the emotional range or what she was able to communicate, not just in the lyrics, but with the sound of her voice alone?
Yeah, she has such this like rich, pure sound, right? There's something so authentic and pure about her sound that I think that's what did it for her, is she just was blessed with this such a powerful instrument and her ability, the richness of her sound. It just, I think that's what made her iconic.
You're going to be doing this at the Alvina Krauss Theater. Why and how is this a good space for this piece?
Oh, I love, I part of my role at BT, I'm the development and communications director at Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble, and I'm a full-time ensemble member. One of the things that we are so blessed with is the historic Alvina Cross Theatre. And what doesn't work in that space? Everything is just because of the uniqueness of our stage and how it's got that old charm, that historic charm to it. I think it feels so right here. It feels so right at the Alvina Cross. You know, how our stage has a little bit of a deeper apron than some stages, and that you're really right there with the audience. You know, Millbrook Playhouse is a thrust stage. So she was right there with the audience, with that show as well, with that performance as well. So just to have that intimacy still exists with this, but it's in a more traditional proscenium, is really, I'm so excited to explore what that's going to look like when she gets here and we do our first staging at the Alvina Krauss, because we're putting this back together in 4 days. She gets here on Monday and we open on Thursday. It's quick. And I would be remiss not to mention there is another character in the show that is kind of like the narrator. He's Patsy's biggest fan, DJ Big Little Man, and that's being played by a guest artist that we've had at BTE this season, Nicholas Fawcett. So he is new to this production. So he's going to kind of be trial by fire. He gets to rehearse a couple times before Samantha gets here, but then he is being thrown in to 4 days of quickly getting this show up on the road.
And that is summer stock like.
It truly is. I think that's the thing I love so much about summer stock is there is a luxurious process, you know, that we have at BTE. Our typical shows, we rehearse for 4 to 6 weeks and then, you know, it runs for about a month. There's something luxurious about that. You can really explore, but there's something really artistically fulfilling of summer stock where I have 10 days. Every decision I make is so important and I have to be decisive and say, yes, no, moving forward. And as a director, it's such a wonderful challenge, but it's something that I feel like the product always, we're on our A game from day one. And it's really fun and exciting to explore. So yeah, 4 days, here we go.
Jared Whitford. He is the development director and communications director at Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble, and he is the producer and director who will reunite with Samantha Lee Mason to revive their 2023 run of A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline by Dean Regan. And it's for the BTE Presented Event Series. And it will be May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Alvina Krauss Theatre, 226 Center Street in downtown Bloomsburg. And we just heard that Nicholas Fawcett will join as Patsy's biggest fan. And also there will be musicians live on stage. Showtimes are 7:30 p.m. May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And there will be a matinee performance at 3 on May 3rd and also on May 4th. For more information, on the web, bte.org, bte.org. The biographical musical, A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline by Dean Regan, will be presented at the Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble May 1st through the 4th. Producer and director Jared Whitford spoke with us, and he is reuniting with actor Samantha Lee Mason to revive their successful 2023 run of A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline. For more information, on the web, bte.org. Again, the shows are May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at 7:30 p.m., and 3 in the afternoon performances on May 3rd and 4th. It's at the Alvina Krauss Theatre, 226 Center Street in downtown Bloomsburg, bte.org. I'm crazy for trying and crazy.